The average man speaks enough words in 1 year to fill 66 books, 800 pages long. He speaks 20,000 words a day, and the average woman speaks 30,000 words a day. As a nation, we are talkers. Vlogs, podcasts, Zoom, YouTube, FaceTime, cell phones, we love to talk. In fact, today, nearly 55 million Americans will listen to 400,000 pastors deliver 1 billion words. And when it's all said and done, a lot more is going to be said than actually done. So today, as we continue in our series on the book of Proverbs, we're going to look at words, specifically our words. We're going to examine the things that come out of our mouth, and we're going to look at how we can do a better job of mastering our mouth. So as we start, let's look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. Solomon writes this: "Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything." So what Solomon is telling us basically here is self-control means controlling your tongue. In fact, in Proverbs, there's over 120 verses related to different things about our speech. And I want to summarize everything that Solomon has to say about our speech in three simple statements today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to call these three ways to stay out of trouble. Okay? Are you with me? Three ways to stay out of trouble. And the first way that you can stay out of trouble is to think before you speak. Think before you speak. Maybe some of you should think before you type, however you want to be able to put this. Another way to say this would be to contemplate before you communicate. Here's what Solomon, the writer of the book of Proverbs, has to say about this idea in chapter 16, verse 23. He says this: "Intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive." Basically, he's saying, get your mind in gear before you engage your tongue. You ever seen those game shows where they kind of guess the answer before the question is finished giving? It seemingly, they always get it wrong because they assume they know what the question is. They assume what's being said. Don't ever assume. Listen. Learn to think before you speak. Elsewhere, Solomon writes this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. He says, "You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say." Have you ever set off a chain reaction with your words? People have actually died for saying the wrong things. I love this. Dan Fouts was a Hall of Fame quarterback for the San Diego Chargers, kind of in the 70s, 80s. Some of you are old enough to remember him. He waited until after he had retired to let it be known exactly how he felt about the defensive lineman that tried to knock him down his whole career. Here's what he said, and again, he waited until after he retired. He said, "Now that I'm retired, I want to say something I've always wanted to say. As a quarterback, I want to say all defensive linemen are sissies." Smart move on his part, waiting till after retirement to make that statement, because you have to live with the consequences of what you say. Here's another piece of wisdom that Solomon gives us around this idea, and it's found in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25. He says this: "Don't trap yourself by making rash promises and only later counting the cost. Choose your commitments carefully," he's saying. "Calculate the cost. Think before you speak. It's a trap to agree to something before you've really thought it through. Again, talk is not cheap. It can cost you a lot." I saw this meme recently as I was preparing about this. I thought it was pretty funny. It said, "Do you know the seven most expensive words in the English language?" And then it said, "I now pronounce you husband and wife," right? Words can cost you something. Talk is not cheap. It's always easier to get in than it is to get out. It's easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. It's easier to fill up your schedule than it is to get out of your schedule. Have you ever said yes to some sort of purchase, something that you wanted to buy, and then you later regretted it? Or how about how many of you have ever made a promise to your kids and then they never let you forget it? Or have you ever accepted an invitation to a party or a thing and then later regretted and wished you didn't have to go? It's always easier to get in than to get out. Don't trap yourself by making rash promises and only later counting the cost, Solomon says. Think before you speak. This is a hard, hard lesson to learn. What you say can make you sick or well, happy or sad, rich or poor. It can get you married or divorced. What you say can win friends or it can make enemies. It can get you hired, and what you say can get you fired. Think before you speak. Here's what I want you to do. On a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, how would you rate yourself in thinking before you speak? Be honest. If you'd say, well, I'm always overcommitted and stressed out and paying for it because I didn't think before I spoke, then maybe you want to give yourself a 1. Or if you always think first before you speak, then give yourself a 10. So that's the first way to stay out of trouble, is to think before you speak. The second way that Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs to stay out of trouble is to always speak the truth. Always. Always speak the truth. Proverbs, as you read through it, it deals with many different kinds of speech. Dishonesty, lying, deceit, exaggeration. But I want to talk to you about the failure to be frank with people. That's a form of dishonesty, right? When you don't really tell people the truth. And in theory, we all agree with the statement, honesty is the best policy. But in practice, we often work it out very differently. We always have a reason why it's not a good time to be honest in whatever particular situation. Like, if I told that person the truth, I don't know what would happen. They might blow up. They might get mad at me. Look at what Solomon has to say about this idea in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 10. He says, someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. Why do we hold back the truth? Well, really, it's because we're cowards. We'd rather do anything we can to avoid conflict. We want to keep the peace. We don't want to make waves, right? We don't want to rock the boat. In a relationship, many times you will not be honest with that person that you're in a relationship with because you'd rather be passive and keep the peace than shake it up or make waves and be honest. Now, when Jody and I, when we first got married, I would do anything to avoid conflict. Anytime there was the slightest disagreement that looked like it could explode, I went the other way. I mean, that was what I did, but it was damaging to our marriage. We lost a lot of good time that we could have been developing intimacy. We were living, because of me, superficially, because we just weren't being honest. I wasn't being honest with her, right? In a relationship, let's say you got an issue. It's an issue with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife. As you start to share your issue with them and you begin to see that person get defensive or exploding, do you back off and say, forget it? Like, superficiality is better than handling that. You begin to back off and you don't deal with the issues. Solomon says that kind of avoidance causes trouble. You say, well, Clay, what kind of trouble? That level of dishonesty, it'll destroy your relationship because bitterness begins to rise. You begin to develop a hidden agenda. You have hurt feelings that you're holding down and it festers. And you stop trusting each other. You doubt. It's what I call truth decay. The relationship begins to suffer. And some of you are watching relationships die before your very eyes because you won't face the facts. And along those same lines, Solomon says this around this idea in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 26. He says, an honest answer is the sign of a true friendship. That says that dishonesty is a lack of love. You don't lie to people that you love. You level with them. You say, hey, this hurts me to say it, and I know it hurts you to hear it, but we've got to deal with this issue. You always tell the truth. Intimacy is a result of truth, and truth always results in conflict. I want you to think about that for a minute. Intimacy is the result of truth, but truth always results in conflict. You say, hey, Clay, are you saying that I have to go through conflict in order for a relationship to have intimacy? Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying. If you've never had any conflict, you've never gotten to some deep issues. You are just superficial. Scott Peck, he wrote a book called The Different Drum that talks about this tunnel of chaos that you have to go through from superficiality to intimacy. It's a tunnel of conflict where you lay out all the cards on the table and say, hey, this right here, this is wrong, and this is what I need, and here's what you need. We argue and we work through it, and then when we come out of that, there's intimacy. There is no intimacy without truth, and there is no truth without conflict. Many of you are living in superficial relationships because every time you start to deal with an issue, there is conflict and you back off and you say, forget it. I don't want to make any waves. I want to be at peace. We don't want to deal with the issue, and we'll pretend that it's just not there. What are you pretending to not know in your relationships? One more verse that Solomon gives us around this idea is found in chapter 28, verse 23, where he says, "In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery." The alternative to being truthful and honest in a relationship is to play games. You ever seen anybody playing games in their relationships, right? In marriages, schools, churches, offices. You see people playing games all the time. They say one thing and then they mean another. They hint and they make suggestions, but they never come out and say, "You're not meeting my needs," or "I'm not meeting your needs," or "We've got a problem. We need to deal with it and face it head on and be honest." Someone who holds back truth always causes problems. Superficiality is a false peace. It's no way to live. Eventually, the relationship, if you're honest, it will die. And this is what I believe one of the biggest factors in the divorce rate in our country continuing to go up and up and up. We need to learn the difference between "you blew it" and "I don't like you." We think if we criticize people, then people don't like us. No, no. You love your kids, don't you? Do you correct your kids? Well, you correct them because you do love them. I would die for my kids, and because of that, I correct them when they're wrong. Being frank with somebody means you love them. Keep in mind that Solomon also says, "Think before you speak," right? And then always speak the truth. If you don't deal with this now, you will deal with it inevitably. One of two things are going to happen in your relationship. Either it will build up and up and up until all of a sudden one day, all of the anxiety just explodes like a bomb. And in a marriage, maybe one of you walks out or it'll just die a slow death. Early on in our marriage, there were some years there where Jody and I, we weren't honest with each other and we were playing games and she was miserable, I was miserable. But one day we decided we're going to lay all the cards on the table. We started being honest. We started working on the issues and the differences kind of between men and women, the differences in our personalities. And I am so glad that we did. We went through that tunnel of chaos, that tunnel of conflict. And when you get angry and you get hot and you're dealing with the issues and you're hurting and everything in your body says get up and walk out of the room, you stay at the table and you work on the issues until there's resolution. And if you do, then there will come intimacy. Most of the married people that I encounter, they don't have an intimate relationship. They've been unwilling to be truthful. They've been unwilling to go through the conflict to get there. So again, on a scale of 1 to 10, how honest would you say you are with those who are closest to you? Evaluate yourself. If they have absolutely no idea the level of frustration that you're going through, then you might want to give yourself a 1. If they know the issues, but you don't talk about it, it's like off limits in our relationship or our friendship, then give yourself a 3. If you say, "We have put intentionally all the cards on the table and we're working through that conflict, and hey, now we can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel," then congratulations, you can give yourself a 10. And that is rare. Very few people make it to that. So the first step in staying out of trouble with your words is think before you speak and then always speak the truth. The third thing that Solomon teaches us is always speak the truth in love. Right? This is really, really, really important. Always speak the truth. We just went over that. But you want to do it in love. That's the qualifier. You don't use truth as a weapon, as a hammer to beat someone down. Proverbs 12:18 says, "Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal." You can wound people or you can heal. You can hurt and heal people with your words. That's the truth. You've both been healed and hurt by words, I know, because I have. It's our choice. Sometimes I grieve over the thoughtless things I say to people I love the most. My wife, who I love the most, sometimes I say the most thoughtless things to her, and that bothers me. How can I say these things to somebody that is the most important person in my life? Have you ever come across someone and they justify their insensitivity by calling it candor? I just say what I feel. Or they follow it with a statement like, just saying, as if putting that on the end makes it okay to say. Proverbs calls that person a fool. I just speak what's on my mind. Well, that's dumb and tactless. That's not a virtue, that's a vice. The Bible says that you speak the truth in love. Everything we do is in love. This is how Solomon says it in chapter 15, verse 4. He says, gentle words cause life and health. Notice the power of gentle words. They cause life and they cause health. When you confront, you care enough to confront because you confront in love, because those words can cause life and health. A pastor friend of mine years ago told me about a story of being in a hospital room with a wife and a doctor and a man who was in a coma. He had been in the coma for several months. And the doctor had said to the wife in the room, hey, he's never going to come out of this. It's hopeless. And then he walked out of the room. And then the pastor leaned over to the man that was in the coma. He got close to his face and said, John, I know you heard what the doctor said, but he's wrong. You're going to make it. You're going to come out of this coma. I don't care what the doctor said. You're going to make it. And he said that tears began to come down from the side of the man's eyes. And the man did recover. And he's active in that guy's church today. He said the turning point in his recovery were those loving words, you're going to make it. All of a sudden, he said, I wanted to live. Gentle words cause life and health. Elsewhere, Solomon says it this way in chapter 12, verse 25. A word of encouragement does wonders. You would agree with that, right? Every once in a while, I'll get an encouraging email from someone. And let me tell you, those encouraging emails, I can go 2 weeks on one good compliment. It motivates me to get up and try harder for the next week. All of us are going to meet a lot of people this week. Without even knowing who those people are, I can tell you something about those people. Every single one of them is having a tough time. Everybody's hurting. Everybody sitting around you is hurting, just in different areas. So be kind to everybody. Now, evaluate yourself on this third one. How often do I encourage others? Do I give more strokes than pokes? Do I nag or brag more, right? If you would say, hey, I hardly ever encourage anybody, then maybe you just want to give yourself a one. Or if you say, I have a plan to compliment the people that are around me on a daily basis, then that's fantastic. Give yourself a 10. So as we wrap up, let me give you a homework assignment for this message. Your homework that I simply want you to do is for you to build up, not tear down, everybody you come into contact this week. So everybody that you encounter, say a word of encouragement to them. Don't do a put down or sarcasm. Don't tease them with some sort of put down statement. Build them up. Speak the truth in love. An encouraging word does wonders. That's your homework for this week. Now, Jesus tells us that your words are the window to your soul. They reveal your character. Your words say who you really are. The things that come out of your mouth are out of your heart. The problem is not with my tongue. The problem is with my heart. It's me. I say hurtful things because inside I am hurting. I need a new heart. That's the case for every human. But the good news is God specializes in heart transplants. And he can begin working on these three areas that we just talked about in your heart today. So let me ask you, are you holding truth back in some sort of relationship that you're in? Some of you are in relationships that are dying right before your eyes. There's an issue that needs to be dealt with and nobody talks about it. It's a family secret. There's a big pink elephant in your living room and you're saying, I don't know, what elephant? I don't see an elephant. You don't see it. You walk around it to get to dinner. You walk around it to go outside. And there it is, but you don't deal with it. There's some major problems that need to be discussed. It may be financial. It may be sexual. It may be parenting problems. But you're not dealing with it. Proverbs says, he who holds back the truth causes trouble. You don't want to deal with the conflict, but you need to. You've got to care enough to confront, and you've got to fight to save that relationship. You've got to stop pretending that you don't know what you know. You need to think before you speak. You need to speak the truth, and you need to speak it in love. I invite you to take a calculated risk in your relationships this week. I want you to risk conflict and speak the truth. Maybe you need to make an appointment and sit down with the person and say, I need to say some things that are truth about our relationship. It's difficult for me to say, and it's probably going to hurt you to hear it, but I believe with God's help, we can both get through this. We can grow in this situation, and we'll grow closer together, and the pain that we're going to go through will be worth it. I am so glad. I wouldn't change a thing that Jody and I had never given up. There isn't anything I'd trade for the relationship with my wife. She's my best friend. I really feel sad for a lot of people who don't know what intimacy is all about, to have somebody in the world that knows everything about you and still loves you unconditionally. I know everything about her, and I love her unconditionally. You've got to speak the truth in love to get there. Hey, would you pray with me? Let's all pray here. As your heads are bowed, God loves you so much, and the principles that are in His Word are not there to hurt you, okay? They're there to help you. All through the book of Proverbs, it says that self-control means controlling the tongue. So just say this: God, would you help me to think before I speak? I may say some stuff to my wife or husband, parents, kids that I have no place saying. I say in a fear of frustration or anger or jealousy or fear, I've got myself into trouble by the things that I've said. Now, some of you, right now, the Holy Spirit may be asking you to go to some place and ask for forgiveness for some of the things you've said. So say this: Father, would you help me to always speak the truth and speak it in love? God, help me to be an encourager, not a discourager. Help me to stay out of trouble with my mouth. Help us to always think before we speak, to always speak the truth, but to speak it in love. And we pray this and ask for this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Well, hey, friends, thanks for joining us today. Before you head out into whatever you got going on in your day, could I ask you a favor? Each and every week, I just ask, if you think today's message might be valuable to somebody that you know, would you mind sharing this video or this podcast? Not only could it be helpful for them, but by sharing this content as well as liking and subscribing to this channel, you're helping us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And along those same lines, could I also ask you to head over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org/give and choose one of those giving options that's there. Every dollar that you give makes sure that your church is prepared more than ever to fund our mission and accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Now, by way of benediction, I want to read you a verse that we read last week from James chapter 1, where James says this: don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. So may you, this week, may you ask God for wisdom, may you ask God for self-control, and may you put it into practice. And as you become wise, may God bless you beyond your measure so that you can, in turn, be a blessing to everyone that's around you. Amen. Well, have a blessed week, guys. We're going to see you every day this week on all of our social channels. Just know that every day I'm praying for you, our staff is praying for you, lots of people are praying for you, and we love you.